So once again, this morning we'll be in Psalm 103, and the title of the message this morning is, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And before we actually start looking at the Word of God together, let me pray again, and then we'll look at this together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this beautiful morning, Lord God, and we're so grateful for this privilege and this opportunity to come here, to praise you, to worship you, to be in your word together, to pray together, to just continue growing in our love for you, for each other, Lord God, to look more like your son, Jesus Christ. And we just pray this morning as we get into your word together, that as your word comes forth, that it would penetrate our hearts, our lives, it would change us, it would help us to look more like your son, Jesus Christ, this morning, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you, of being considered children of the Most High, and the fact that we have a hope, we have a future in you and through your son, Jesus Christ, Lord God. We thank you so much once again for this time. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, once again, we'll be in Psalm 103. And A.W. Tozer once wrote regarding praise and worship. He said this, "The best preparation for worship is not rehearsal, but surrender." And this is something that we will certainly learn this morning as we study through Psalm 103. And if you remember the last time I was up here, we looked at Psalm 148. And if you remember, there we read about the fact that when we praise the Lord, we join in with all of creation in praising the Lord. And that's such a beautiful and awesome thing when you think about it. And if you remember in Psalm 148, the psalmist, he read about praises in the heavens, right? He began in the third heaven, the heaven of heavens. And there, the heavenly hosts were praising and worshiping the Lord. He worked his way into the second heaven, speaking of outer space, the planets and the stars. And then he worked his way into Earth's atmosphere, or the first heaven. And then the psalmist worked his way to the planet itself, the trees, the plants, the landforms, and then eventually making his way to mankind. And once again, all of that was a reminder to us that when we praise the Lord together, we're praising the Lord with all of creation. And what a beautiful picture that paints for us when you think about that. And this morning, we will continue this theme of praise here in Psalm 103. And just a little bit of a background regarding Psalm 103. G. Campbell Morgan once said regarding this psalm, he said, "It is perhaps the most perfect song of pure praise to be found in the Bible. Through centuries, it has been sung by glad hearts, and today is as fresh and full of beauty as ever." And it certainly is. As we read through it this morning, we'll recognize that. So when you think of Psalm 103, along with Psalm 104, 105, and 106, these are the last four psalms in the fourth book of Psalms. And the fourth book of Psalms encompasses Psalms 90 through 106. And these last four Psalms, 103 through 106, they really emphasize the praise of the Lord for several different reasons. And one of those is his benefits. And we're going to see that here in Psalm 103 this morning. It also encourages us to praise the Lord for his care of creation, which you can read about in Psalm 104. His wonderful acts on behalf of Israel, and that's presented in Psalm 105. And of course, his long-suffering with his people's rebellion, and that can be found in Psalm 106. And what we'll see this morning through the psalmist, which is David, is he begins with personal or individual praise unto the Lord. He then moves on to national praise, and then he ends with universal praise of the Lord. And this psalm is all about praise. There's no like general requests to the reader. It's just talking about praise. And as we study through this morning, I think it's a great reminder of maybe where our hearts are and where our hearts should be in terms of praising the Lord. And not just on Sunday mornings, but always because of the hope and the benefits and everything that we have through Jesus Christ. So this morning, what I want to begin with is, let me go ahead and read. Let's read the entire psalm together. So Psalm 103, and here the psalmist writes, "My soul, bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness towards the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all his angels of great strength, who do his word, obedient to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places where he rules. My soul, bless the Lord. Amen. So this morning we'll begin in the first five verses. And what we're going to see here is that David begins this psalm with individual or personal praise. So if we look once again in verses 1 and 2, David writes, "My soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits." And these verses are a beautiful reminder that it blesses and it honors God when his children, his creation, his creatures, they praise him and they thank him. And when you think about this, and if those of you that have children this morning, if you have any kids, when your kids thank you and they say they love you with no strings attached, like, it really blesses you, doesn't it? I know for me, from an uncle's perspective, when my nephew tells me he loves me or he appreciates everything that I do for him or he thanks me, you know, without a Cash App request attached, it really, really blesses me because I know that's coming from him and not because he needs any money or anything like that. But when you think about praise, true praise is always going to come from a grateful heart. And we're going to see this morning through David. And notice that David, he does this. He praises the Lord with his soul, is what the word of God says here. But he goes even beyond that by doing that with all that was within him. His inner being was focused on the Lord, his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength. And if you remember, you think back to the Gospels, right? The Gospel of Mark teaches us there, if you look in chapter 12, remember there the Lord was being challenged. He was being debated. And a scribe asked the Lord, he said, "Hey, which command is the most important of all?" And then the Lord responds, if you look in verses 29 through 31, there in Mark chapter 12, it says, Jesus answered, "The most important is, listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." And the question becomes, do we do that as we love and as we praise the Lord? Or is it only like at the surface? And this kind of reminded me of a time when I was living back in Colorado. I remember taking a youth group to a Christian concert there in Colorado Springs. And, you know, if you ever hang out with youth, they want to be in the midst of all the chaos and all the loudness. So we were in the very front. I remember we were standing in the front row. We got there really, really early. And I remember when the praise and the worship started, like we were shouting to the Lord. It was just incredible. It was like with everything that I had, everything that we were made of. And I remember we were standing next to a speaker. It was huge. It was like the size of the door. I swear if it would have fallen on me, it probably would have killed me. But it was a huge speaker. And I swear the speaker, the energy coming from that speaker was amazing. The sound waves coming from there. And I remember telling the young man next to me, I'm like, hey, we got to move from here. Like, this is really loud. Like, I could feel my organs moving internally. And he's like, no, man, it's the spirit. It's the worship. And I was like, you know, it was the speaker. But the way I felt, I can only imagine, you know, maybe that's how David felt when he was praising and worshiping the Lord. Like, everything that was within in him was praising the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing. And when you think about it, when you love the Lord in that way, it prepares us to obey and to follow his perfect will. Because when you think about it, being in God's perfect will, though it's hard sometimes because God's will is not necessarily our own will, right? We have our own will every day when we get up in the morning. That's where the blessings pour out. And that's where we want to focus, not just on Sundays, but every single day. And this is the reason we can praise him and worship him with all that we have because of the benefits that we have through Jesus Christ. And through him. And when you think about this, there are so many benefits to be in the Lord. And in the next section, actually in verses 3 through 5, we'll talk about some of those benefits. But just think about that in your own life. Just some of the things that you're blessed for just by being in the Lord. And there's so many of them. And two of them, I'm going to read in two verses here. These are benefits that are very important to me. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in John 3:16, as everyone knows, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So in Christ Jesus, we're new creations. What we used to be, we're not that anymore. We're born again. We're new in Christ. And then, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's beautiful because not just certain people, but anyone who believes in him, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And those two verses are just the beginning of the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus. And I know for me this morning, I know for many of us in this room this morning, probably all of us in this room this morning, being in the Lord is a great blessing. And I know for me, like I said, he changed my life from a prideful creation worshiping lost soul to a child of God, which is a privilege and an opportunity that I'm glad I took because we have to invite him into our lives, right? The Lord's not just going to barge into the door of your heart. He's knocking. We have to open it. And once you taste and you see the goodness of the Lord, there's absolutely no turning back. And that's just one of the many benefits we have or we see in the Lord. And if you look in verse 3, 4, and 5, as I mentioned, he's going to talk about some of those benefits we have. He says, he forgives all your iniquity. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. So once again, the forgiveness of sins is like one of the greatest benefits that we have. Because when you think about it, remember that the wages of sin is death. But in Christ, we have new life because we're a new creation. And that has been taken away from us because of what he did on the cross and the fact that he rose from the dead. Right? Those two things are very important. And certainly those that have trusted in Christ, they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they've experienced this forgiveness, right? Ephesians 1:7, Pastor Angel was teaching on this just a few weeks ago. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And then in 1 John 2:2, it says, and he, Jesus himself, is the propitiation, right? He paid the debt for our sins. And it is, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And when you think about David as he's writing this, you know, this was a guy that knew a thing or two about forgiveness. And for example, if you think about like Psalm 51, right? Remember there, David, he came to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart after he had, you know, done these adulterous things with Bathsheba. and he had killed her husband Uriah to cover up those behaviors. And remember, he had to be confronted by the prophet Nathan in order for him to recognize, like, oh my gosh, I'm that person who did these things. He came to the Lord with that broken and that contrite heart, asking for forgiveness. And of course, the Lord forgave him, didn't he? So he knew a thing or two about forgiveness. And when you think about it, that in our own lives, you know, God knows the worst about us, but yet he loves us the most and he'll forgive us the most, because that's how God loves. And that's something that is hard for us to understand. But we won't understand that because God's ways are not our ways. But we're so grateful and pleased with that. And because of that, we have so much to praise him for and be thankful for. But notice here that when David lists these things, right, he begins with, he forgives all your iniquity. And then he moves into, he heals all your diseases. Notice here that he mentions the forgiveness of sins before physical healings. And because the forgiveness of sins, when you think about that, is far more important than any physical healing that we could receive, if you think about that. Now, please remember that as believers, our body will not be completely delivered of disease or weakness until it's redeemed and glorified, right? At the return of Jesus Christ, our bodies in this state cannot experience God's glory. That's why we're going to have new resurrected bodies. These bodies are deteriorating left and right. We're literally oxidizing and rusting and falling apart. Romans 8, 18 through 23 tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." And this is so true. You know, our bodies are deteriorating, they're falling apart. And I don't know if this is like a Latino thing, but you know, every time you know, you get together and you have a family gathering, there's always that one table, you know, with, it is usually the older people. And no offense if you're old this morning, this is just an observation I've made. It's always that table with like the Theos and the Theas, and they're always kind of like comparing their illnesses to each other and like who's taking the most medication. And you know, it's like, well, I'm hurting here, well, I'm hurting there, well, I was hurting first, well, I'm hurting more. You know, so it's like this competition. And they're well aware that these bodies are falling apart. And the Lord, he can heal those bodies. He can do that. We believe that God still heals today. We believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still occurring today. However, not everyone is going to be healed physically. And I know for many of us in this room, and myself included, that can be something very difficult to understand. And if you're battling illness this morning, or maybe you had a setback this week, I don't know what your week was like, and you need a physical healing, please understand that your spiritual healing will always outweigh that physical healing that your body needs. And in fact, when you think about this, the author of Hebrews tells us this in chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. We're all going to die physically one time. But because of our spiritual healing, we're going to live forever because of that spiritual healing. So even if you receive a physical healing, eventually you're going to die, because that physical healing is not going to last forever. But your spiritual healing is going to last forever. So even if he heals you physically, you know, praise God for that, right? That just adds to the benefits we have in the Lord. But ultimately, your spiritual healing is very important. And if you're discouraged this morning, don't let that overtake you and make you overlook that spiritual healing that you have in Christ Jesus, because you're so desperate for a physical healing. You don't ever want to be in that place. I know that can be hard. And we can overlook that spiritual healing that we have and the blessings we have in that spiritual healing. Now, when you think about Jesus Christ, and, you know, Jesus is like the only living representation. He is the only living representation we have of God the Father. When he was on this planet in his earthly ministry, he didn't heal everybody. And you ask yourself, well, why didn't he heal everybody? Like, he was able to heal everyone, but he didn't. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But what I do know is that for me personally, illness has made me desperate for God. And I know that had I been well, I wouldn't have been this desperate for God. And perhaps that's why he hasn't healed me yet. And I'm okay with that because it's drawn me closer to the Lord. It's in those darkest hours where you can have the most intimate experiences with God. And sometimes we have to be taken into the pit and, you know, dragged through the weeds, whatever it is, for him to get our attention. I'd rather be in the state that I am now than be full of pride and be so far away from the Lord. R.C. Sproul once wrote, "I do not always feel his presence, but God's promises do not depend upon my feelings. They rest upon his integrity." And think about the Apostle Paul. Remember what he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. If you remember there, he was given a thorn in the flesh. And, you know, some scholars suggested maybe it was his eyesight, maybe it was his legs, maybe some other physical ailment. You know, we don't know. He doesn't tell us. But what we see here is that he was given this thorn in the flesh for the purposes of keeping him from being exalted above measure. And he said regarding this circumstance, he says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times." Now, some scholars suggest that term three times is really a Hebrew figure of speech that means continuously. So whether he asked three times or continuously, I don't know. But he asked that this would depart from him. But then the Lord tells him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So even in the midst of illness, we can praise and worship him because of the many benefits we have in the Lord. And that's a spiritual healing. So amen to that this morning. And in verse 4, he says, regarding the Lord, he says, "He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion." Now, the word redeemed here reminds us of what we are in Christ. We're redeemed. And he rescues us from the pit. And when you think about the pit, you think about this term in Scripture. It often is a picture of Sheol, or the world of the dead. And when you think about the life of David, this guy was near death many, many times and on many occasions. And then notice in that second part of verse 4, he talks about he crowns us with faithful love and compassion. So he crowns us with great love and great mercy. And you think about David, he knew a thing or two about crowns, but no crown he ever wore compared to God's faithful love and God's compassion, which we all have access to, some of the benefits that we have being in the Lord. Verse 5, it says, "He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle." So he satisfies us, our lives, with many blessings. And it's those things that strengthen us and they renew us every single day. Because we know, because we've done this, we've gone back to the world many times in our walk with the Lord. Nothing in this world is going to satisfy us like the bread of life. John 6, 33 through 40 tells us, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And I love that. The Lord is also our good shepherd. Psalm 23, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of the righteousness for his namesake." So no matter how old we get, God can satisfy our needs, our lives, and our spiritual desires because he's God and we're in him and he loves us. And when you think about eagles, which is mentioned here in the last part of verse 5, I believe, yeah, it says your youth is renewed like the eagle. You think about an eagle, like most birds, they molt, M-O-L-T. And that's a biological term that simply means they lose their feathers or they lose their skin, but they regenerate it. So it's kind of like a new lease in life. It'd be like if your all your skin, all your hair fell off, and then like you got a new one. That would be weird. But you would get a new one, you would be like regenerated. So the picture we see here, we have painted here, is that the believer is being strengthened by the Lord in old age and able to soar like an eagle. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. So as we move now into the second section of this particular psalm this morning, we're going to see that the worship now shifts from a personal and individual level to more of a national level. Okay, and here we're going to look at verses 6 through 18. All right, so in verse 6, 7, and 8, it says, the Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. So once again, in the last section, David described the greatness of God in his work to the individual, but now God is showing this towards societies and nations. And when you think about the nation of Israel, it was blessed of the Lord. And Israel, in a sense, was obligated to praise the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord. And throughout their history, you think about Israel, the Lord rescued them from many different things. You think about that Exodus out of Egypt. And for example, if you look at Exodus 13:21, it says, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and a pillar of fire to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. And you think even of our own nation, the United States of America, even the state that this nation is in right now. You know, the Lord hasn't struck us down with lightning, and he certainly can, but he's chosen not to. He's rescued this nation from many things, as well as us as individuals. But going back to David, he had many great victories in his life, and the Lord also gave his people much guidance, right? We read about that in verse 7. It says, he revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel, right? Leading them by his glory cloud, his word, his prophets, all of these things that he's blessed Israel with. And then in verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. And this reminds me of, if you remember there in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, there the Lord, there's this kind of this revelation of himself to Moses, and he declares, he says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And certainly he does, and he is. Now, in the next few verses, verses 9 through 13, this is going to be very reminiscent of like a court setting, if you think about it. In verse 9 and 10, he says, he will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our inequities. So though the Lord did get angry at sin, and the Israelites were prone to rebel and go against the Lord, you know, as we are. But we saw it a lot. You know, we read about it a lot with the Israelites. And you think about the Lord, his compassion allowed him to forgive them. And we know that this was all possible because of his son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for all of those sins. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. He didn't give them what they deserved. And I can tell you that I'm so grateful that the Lord hasn't punished me in a way that I deserve because of my inequities. And it's all because of his compassion and his love and his willingness to forgive me for my sins. All that punishment, right, that we deserve was put onto Jesus Christ. If you look in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4, 5, and 6, it says there regarding Jesus, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's heavy, but there's no greater love than that. This also reminded me so much of 2 Peter 3:9. There Peter writes for us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And that's the Lord's heart. That should be our heart as well, that all should come to repentance. So the patience that he's had with us and he continues to have with us, that's the patience that we should have with people around us as well. And I know that's not an easy thing because we don't love like God loves. We're not like God, right? Because his ways are not our ways. But that should be our heart. That should be our desire. His love is beyond anything I or any of us in this room can understand. But what we need to understand is that nothing can separate us from that love. And if you forget about those things, maybe you're down about those things, remember the believer's triumph in Romans 8, 31 through 39. Read it and remind yourself of the benefits that we have in the Lord. And certainly David knew he and the nation of Israel, they deserved more punishment than the Lord had given to them or that they had received. He and they had a lot to be grateful for, a lot to praise the Lord for, because of the fact that he did not punish them in the way that they deserved. Now in verse 11, 12, and 13, David writes, he says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." So what we see here is something we've already been talking about, this greatness of God's gracious love and forgiveness. And in fact, David, to really, you know, kind of solidify this, he had to look up to the heavens to describe this, right? He looked into the atmosphere. He looked into space. And when you look up into the heavens, like it's really high, right? Like it goes on forever in our mind. Well, God's love reaches that high and even higher, which is so cool. Now, remember, it's not God's pity or just that surface love that saves us, but it's his grace. And when you think about grace, grace is love that has an action because it paid a price. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and Pastor Angel once again taught through this a few weeks ago. It says, For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And going back to what I said earlier, if Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and if he hadn't risen from the dead, our faith would be, as the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it would be futile. It'd have no effect. We'd have no hope. We'd have no future. All of this would be pointless. We'd just be meeting this morning. But the fact that he died and the fact that he rose from the dead gives us a hope in the future. In the next few weeks, we're going to be remembering that. We're going to be celebrating that because that is the best thing that we could ever have in our lives. And then notice here that he has forgiven our sins as far as the east is from the west. And when you think about that, you know, think about the planet, right? The earth is, it's a sphere. I mean, the earth is really the shape of a potato because it bulges at the equators, you know, because the earth is spinning. But even if you're a flat earther, this applies, right? So whether you believe the earth's flat or you believe the earth is a potato or a sphere. Now, if you go east and you go west without following any type of curvature or any type of linearity, you just go straight, you're going to go on forever. You're never going to meet. And that's how much the Lord has forgiven our sins, which is a beautiful thing. And that's one of the greatest benefits we have in the Lord. And I think that's such an awesome picture to paint ourselves as we look into the horizons in the morning or in the evenings during the sunsets. Like, it goes on forever. And so does his forgiveness for our sins. In verses 14 through 18, David continues and he says, "For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love towards those who fear him and his righteousness towards the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts." So if you look back to the book of Genesis, you look there in that second chapter, in verse 7, it tells us, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And because he created us, he knows exactly what we're made of. And he even kept watch over us, even when before we were even formed, when we were in the womb of our mother. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 tells us, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And this is awesome. This is a beautiful reminder. Because the Lord created us, he knows everything about us, even before we were formed. However, despite that fact, we're only like grass that grows and then it fades away and it dies. And in fact, James reminds us that our lives are but a vapor, like we're here one moment and then we're gone the next moment. But because of our benefits in the Lord, he desires us to share in the eternal home that he has for us, together with us, particularly those and their descendants that have feared him and have obeyed him. And if you look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, here as believers, it tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven," in the heavenly places, rather, in Christ. So that's something we don't want to forget. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and as we trust and as we continue to obey the Lord, he will continue to meet our every need, every single day, because God is, he's so good. Now, as we move into the last section here, we're going to see we go from national praise now to universal praise. All right, so beginning in verse 19 through 22, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I think one thing that we always have to keep in mind when we are worshiping the Lord is that we are worshiping the King of the universe. It's not just anybody. It's the King of the universe. And here David celebrates God's secure reign in heaven. And when you think about it, there's no aspect of the universe that is not under his reign. Like, he reigns over everything. He's the Lord of hosts. He is sovereign over everything. He created the stars and the planets, right? Psalm 33:6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He created the angels as well," Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And they are also servants to the saints." Hebrews 1:14 speaks of this. And despite all of that, despite all of this, he knows you, he knows me, he knows everybody by our names. And he's with us. And you think about this is a beautiful, this is a powerful thing. And in fact, it reminded me so much of David. For example, remember when he confronted Goliath? If you look there in 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" And that is whom we, and that is who he was worshiping and who we worship this morning, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, and everything else on this planet. Now, concerning the angels, if you look in Revelation 5:13, I talked a little bit about this when we were in Psalm 148. There, John documents for us. He said, "I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" So here we read that David boldly tells the angels to bless the Lord as well. You think about the angels, right? It says here that they excel and they're strong and they're obedient. But they should also bless the Lord, right? Just like David, just like creation. And just like we read here in verse 13 of chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, just as I read here, I referenced. David says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. So this call to praise is extended to all of God's works, or everything that he's created, in all places that is his dominion, which is pretty much everywhere. And once again, this is a beautiful mind picture, I think, for us this morning as we praise and we worship the Lord. And going back to the angels, right, you think about praise and worship in heaven. You know, that's something that is sparingly described in the Word of God. Like, there's very few references describing worship in heaven. But one day, we're all going to join in with the angels in worshiping the Lord face to face. And that's something I really can't wait and really, literally look forward to, because it's not only the angels and the Lord we're going to be with, but also all of our loved ones that have left this planet before us and are with the Lord right now. And that's something that I'm really excited about. I think it gives us a longing to be with the Lord. Not that we're embracing death, but it just gives us more hope and something to look forward to as we continue to deteriorate in these physical bodies. But notice here as he closes off the psalm, the final shout of praise, it doesn't come from the angels, it doesn't come from creation, but rather it comes from David himself. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And you're like, well, why did he end it like that? Well, when you think about it, think about salvation and the fact that if you're a believer this morning and you're in the Lord and you have salvation, there is so much more for you to praise about than the angels and even the galaxies in outer space have to praise and worship the Lord. Because we have salvation, we have a hope, we have a future in Jesus Christ. And as redeemed men and redeemed women out there, you have more to praise the Lord for than the angels do and the universe does. Psalm 84, 10 through 11 tells us, better a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather stand in the threshold of the house of my God than live in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. And if you're in the Lord this morning, you have a lot to praise him for and be grateful for. So in closing this morning, as we read through this entire psalm, David took us on this awesome journey of praise and worship. It began with him individually, and on the personal level, it went to the national level, and then it ended at the universal level. And then, of course, it closed with him at the very end here, as we just talked about. But what we can say here, or what we learned as believers, is we must be obedient to God. And when we are obedient to him, that it will allow us to enjoy God's best. Right? We have a lot of benefits in the Lord. The psalm also reminds us never to forget the blessings after we received them and enjoyed them. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And certainly as believers, we want to be living in 1 Thessalonians and not like 1 Fleshalonians, but 1 Thessalonians. And in Christ Jesus, there's so much to praise him for, to be thankful for. And I can confidently say to all you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, that the best is still yet to come, and it's all because of God's grace. You know, Pastor Chuck once said regarding grace, he said, grace transforms desolate and bleak plains into rich green pastures. It changes grit your teeth duty into loving, enthusiastic service. It exchanges the tears and guilt of our own failed efforts for the eternal thrill and laughter of freely offered pleasures at the right hand of God. Grace changes everything. And that will always be something to praise him about. And then in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, which is actually the beginning of the psalm, and I'll close with this. It says, my soul bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. My soul bless the Lord and do not forget all his benefits. Amen. So this morning, if you're watching on the live stream, and you're hearing this message, or maybe you come across this message a little bit later, and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, and maybe you're wrestling with the world, maybe you're in a place where you can't even praise the Lord anymore, and you want to be at that place again, you want to maybe rededicate your life to him, or maybe you want to get to know him, you want to invite him into your life, you want a heavenly Father who's not going to leave you nor forsake you, and you want to join a family of believers, and you want to join in praising and worshiping the Lord with all creation. We want to give you that opportunity this morning. And if that's you, if you could just close your eyes, wherever you're at, bow your head, and just repeat this prayer with me. Well, Heavenly Father, this morning I want to declare you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were buried. I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me and use me for your glory. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you prayed that this morning, as always, we want to welcome you to the family of Christ. And the Word of God says that the angels celebrate, even when one sinner repents or turns to the Lord. And if you gave your life to the Lord this morning, there's a celebration going on in heaven on your behalf. And one of these days, you'll be able to join in that celebration face-to-face with the Lord. If you need any help finding a church, maybe you need a Bible, maybe you need prayer, anything like that, please reach out to the church. Or come by and visit us. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Here at the intersection of Gateway South and Hondo Pass in Northeast El Paso. And we'll be praying for you. We love you, and we hope to see you again soon. So have a blessed week, and goodbye for now.